Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey team, Dave here, just dropping in at the start of the episode to tell you that you are about to hear our second live episode recorded at the Melbourne Comedy Festival with me reporting. It was exciting times and thank you so much to everyone that came out. It really was a lot of fun. So much fun that you will notice at the start of the episode, I get a little bit excited on the microphone, so it peaks a little bit at the start of the episode, but don't worry, once the report starts, it definitely settles down a lot more. I'll have a chat to you again at the end of this episode, but without further ado, please enjoy this week's Do Go On.
Oh, thank you. You didn't have to do that at all. Oh, my God. Hello. Yeah, you can join the show.
It's like I was waiting for you to intro me. I don't know. I'm sorry. Hello.
I was just getting a final update on the score. The Saints won by 30.
Oh, no one.
Was that literally what the update was?
Yes.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, cool.
Andrew runs this venue, ran up to me. I'm like, oh, shit, what's happening? She said, Saints won by 30.
All right. welcome to the Footy Podcast. Yeah. Hi, everyone. Hi, welcome to Do Go On Live at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. How you doing?
I like how everyone crowded up the front here.
Yeah, thank you.
There's a weird.
Were you leaving that for me?
Oh no.
Yeah.
Not again. Go. There's a few seats at the front. If anybody at the back wants to move forward, this isn't the type of show where we're gonna hang shit on you. Like you're welcome.
Here he comes.
Connor's coming down.
Oh.
Look at this dickhead up the front. Oh. Look at this dickhead coming up the front. Nah.
There we go. You. At least this way you can see. Anybody? People at the back, can you see us? Okay. Yes, excellent.
Yeah,
Last week we were on normal chairs,
these guys,
like idiots.
These guys get to touch us, okay? You like that? Yeah. Bit of a, should have moved, could have got this experience.
Dave, please never touch an audience member and say, do you like that ever again?
I'm really, really sorry. Hi, everyone. If you have just joined us, as you all have, my name is Dave, and I'm here with Jess and Matt, and we are very excited to be doing our second ever live episode. Give me a round of applause if you've heard the show before. Okay, I'm starting to panic because the one person who didn't clap was the woman I touched. Oh my God. So, is it true that you've never heard the show? Oh my God, she's never heard that, but she's been touched by the show. Give me a round of applause if, like this poor lady, you've never heard the show before.
Cool.
They're always the most enthusiastic people. Thanks for coming on. And finally, give us a round of applause if you were here last week for our first live show.
Yeah, well.
The weirdos up the front. All right, great to have you back here. We are very excited, aren't we, guys?
And in a way, Dave, we're the weirdos up the front, aren't we?
Yeah. I just touched a lady.
That's very strange.
Oh, I'm so sorry, but it's great to be here. Matt, how are you doing over there?
Yeah, good. Saints by 30. So.
Yeah, don't know if you mentioned that.
Yeah, that'll matter in about 4 days' time when this comes out to everyone else. But that's...
yes, it will. Oh.
And you can hear us okay? No.
Oh, that's no good.
Thanks, Emma.
We've got our technician to turn us up a little bit.
Oh,
yes.
Hello.
We said beforehand that Dave... I mean, that's on.
It's there. it's really the user problem, isn't it?
Yeah, Matt likes to hold his microphone about down here.
And he's like, why is that working?
No, but then he still talks like, and then anyway, I noticed that... but it's down here. Now, you're okay.
Is that a bit better? Can you hear me now, obviously? And that's really all
he's
that matters.
So, Can maybe give me some juice, Sammy. Oh, no, I'm okay. I'm all right.
We only have an hour, obviously.
I know, sorry.
So what we wanted to do was spend the first 10 to 15 mic checking in front of you guys.
When you say we only have an hour, we also only had an hour to set up. So that was obviously a waste of time, but good.
Before you start. There you go.
Yeah, I've got... Hey, have you guys heard of... Hey, we got our first sponsor today.
Thank you.
And I'm going to do a real good job reading this ad copy, and then you guys are going to go buy the sweet product. All right, great. As long as we're all agreed. You guys heard of the product is called 360 Fly? You know that? Yep. It's like a camera.
I don't know if you're lying, but I like your nodding. It's good. It's good.
It's a camera that records all around you. 360 degrees, all right.
Matt,
please, tell me more about this fantastic new product.
That's all I know, but there's a promo.
Why did we get him to do it? Dave's the salesman.
But it's a really good thing. And for you guys, there's a 15% off code, and it's Planet. And you go to 360fly.com. Also mention the live event was filmed using one, and they allow for 360 degree footage. So cool.
I think it was written like, so cool.
Oh, so cool.
There we go.
Oh, so good.
Nailed it.
So just by a show of hands, who's going to buy a camera just after this?
Anyone?
They've all got their hands up. We've done our job. Well, thank you very much for that amazing ad read there, Matt.
No, thank you for the opportunity.
Now, if you haven't heard the show before, like you and a few other people, usually we don't do an ad, but we did today. And usually we talk about a topic.
Yes.
It is one of our jobs to report on said topic, and the other people just get to listen.
We just get to riff.
Yeah. There's a lot less listening and a lot less riffing lately. But it is my turn this week to do a report.
Which is the best! Firstly, because Dave's reports are literally the best, because he puts effort in.
Look at this.
Oh. We're not going to get through that. But also because it just means that Matt and I get to just hang shit on Dave, which is our favourite thing to do. Would you agree?
Yes. Hey, Dave, how about Hitler, you dickhead?
Got him!
How about him? I don't have anything. I don't affiliate myself.
You probably need a little context there.
Yeah, no, okay.
No, she doesn't.
Allow me to fill you in. Dave has a certain sympathy, and that is...
It's not true.
For the Nazis. Loves them. So...
You were touched by a Nazi. That's right.
To quote him directly, they weren't that bad.
No. No, we all go back to the tape, which we will. Everyone get your iPhones out now. I'm not a Nazi, but I am going to do a report here today.
He's so showbiz that he can't, like...
I can't sit down.
Oh, yeah, okay. Hey, you do whatever
you're
doing.
I'm not a Nazi butt, is what you just said.
Sounds like a Nazi.
My butt is not a Nazi. That is what I'm trying to say, and neither is the rest of me, and I'd like to talk about something else. Is that okay with you?
Fine.
Yeah, thank you. Let's cheer for me not talking about Nazis. All right. So I've chosen the topic from the hat, which, as last week, if you've heard the last week's episode, is now called Jack the Hat McVitie. That's the title of the hat. And one of our listeners has suggested this, and I don't know, no one else really knows this, but every idea that goes into the hat gets given a number. We don't usually read out the numbers because they're not very significant, but this week I've chosen idea 001.
The OG suggestion.
Oh, the first one. Nothing but the best. So we're going to start with a question, as we always do. And my question for both Matt and Jess, and then once they've failed to grasp the answer, we can throw over to you.
Unless we nail it first time. So
never
going to you. Yep.
The question is, in 1886...
Oh, I'm out.
Matt?
It was a good year. Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
It was a good year. And a good year because American man John Pemberton invented what food product? What food product? 1886.
Invented a food product. He invented the carrot.
I've finally done it.
It's like a mad scientist. He invented a food. 1886.
Yeah, it'll be a big product like
How old were
McDonald's
you then, Matt?
Burger. I was a teen. I was a young teen. What was I eating back then?
Yeah, I mean, cast your mind back, if you can.
It's a food product. A thing you eat and chew. Like a food.
Oh, no, there's no chewing. There's no, well, you could, but it's
soup.
Pretty weird.
He invented soup.
Soup is closer than a food product.
Okay, it's a liquid.
What about a liquid drink?
Okay.
1886.
I think I know this because I reckon I've seen the number one entry in the hat. Is it Coca-Cola?
It is Coca-Cola, ladies and gentlemen. Ooh. History.
Ooh.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, they go to some dark places, this Do Go On podcast.
Oh, they certainly
they take
do.
On the big dogs.
I'm going to talk about...
360 Fly had to pay us for that ad, and now we're going to talk about Coca-Cola for an hour.
They've paid me a lot. They've paid me a lot. How about you guys? You guys Coke drinkers?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, did we get the money from Coke? And we did not.
And you never will.
No, I'm not a cola guy at all. Don't like it. No
okay,
good.
Well, you're not getting sponsored by Coke. Jess?
Big fan.
Big fan.
Yeah, I wish I wasn't, but I am a big fan.
All right, how about everyone here? Give me a round of applause if you love the cola. Yeah.
But everybody has their type too, like whether you're a classic Coke or a Diet Coke or a Coke Zero or a vanilla, hello Fancy, or...
Jess is definitely getting the sponsorship money.
I can list four Cokes. I'm a Diet Coke fan myself, so you know.
Very nice.
Because I'm a white woman in her 20s.
Well, for you and the 50% of people here who actually care about Coke, here is the story.
I'm actually more of a Pepsi guy. I'm a bit of a revolutionary protester, fight the power, yeah. You know,
someone just handed you a Coke, a Pepsi, and you thought, "Yeah, the world's going to be okay."
Yeah.
Did everyone see that ad? Fuck, it was great. And I'm a Coke guy. I'm a Coke guy. I'm going straight down the middle here. I don't like Coke or Pepsi. I don't like fizzy drinks because they hurt my tongue. So, I'm a water man. I'm a water man. See, that is mine. Love water. Live. For water. Some people are, 50% water? I'm 96% water. 4% undecided. Okay. John... Seriously, there's so many words to get through. So
that's
here we go.
Your fault.
I know. I'm going to stand up to okay. launch the topic.
Just stand the whole time. You're still my height.
Yeah, I know. John Pemberton was born on January 8th, 1831.
A good year.
Knoxville, Georgia. He entered the Reform Medical College of Georgia, and in 1850, at the age of 19, he was licensed to practice pharmacy. Shortly thereafter, he met Anne Eliza Clifford Lewis of Columbus, known to her friends as Cliff.
Oh, okay. All right. Yep,
she's
on board.
Cool.
I was about to be like, she has too many names, but then they call her Cliff, and I'm like, nah, okay, that's all right. That's
the best
nickname.
One.
That's a good nickname.
She was also a student. They married in 1853, and they had one child, Charles Ney Pemberton.
Which makes Ney.
I know, it's a bit like Charles Ney Pemberton, used to be called Pemberton.
His middle name is Ney.
Ney.
He was a horse. No, his parents were a horse. One horse, somehow, and they...
His parents were a horse.
And they said, what would you like to name this child? Ney. You see, I mean, you probably didn't need me to keep going there.
Everyone got that, yeah.
So, right, okay.
So together they lived in a stable house, the Pemberton House, in Columbus, which I believe has since been named the Pemberton House, not that they happened to move into a house bearing their surname. Which my grandparents moved into, their surname is Ferguson, and they moved into a street not knowing that it was called Ferguson Court.
They didn't know the name of the street they were moving into.
It was a different time.
I think your grandparents are squatters.
They're still there.
Now they're claiming squatters' rights.
Yeah, well,
they named the street after us. We've clearly been here a long time.
Try and argue with that. During the American Civil War, Pemberton served in the 3rd Cavalry Battalion of the Georgia State Guard, which was at that time a component of the Confederate Army. He achieved the rank... That's right. Coca-Cola was invented by a Confederate.
The baddies, right? Yes.
Well, depending... Well, yes.
Depending. Yeah. Dave would disagree, but...
Why do I always back the losing side? He achieved the rank of Lieutenant Colonel. It's quite a rank. In April 1865, Pemberton sustained a sabre wound to the chest.
Sabre?
Sabre. How cool is that? Not for him, but to say... to say 150 years later, it's pretty cool. This was during the Battle of Columbus. He was seriously injured and nearly died, which would especially have sucked for him, as that is often cited as the last battle of the entire Civil War. So he nearly made it, and then he got stabbed on the chest on the last day. He soon became addicted to morphine and other painkillers he used to ease the pain associated with his sabre wound.
Pussy.
Which is
a
fun...
Take a sabre like a man.
Back in my day, which is 150 years later, we knew how to take a sabre to the chest. His whole life, he was looking for a get-rich-quick scheme and created a lot of medicines and other tonics and the like.
I mean, aren't we all? That's why we got into podcasting.
Yeah. So far, it's working out great.
Yeah.
We've got Coca-Cola money behind us now. His first recipe for these get-rich-quick schemes was called Dr. Tugel's Compound Syrup of Globe Flower.
Nap.
Which I think we can all agree is a very catchy name.
Yeah. I'm buying that by the slab.
If I can shoehorn a Simpsons reference in here, it reminds me of Troy McClure's film The Contrabulous Fabtraption of Professor Horatio Horfungal. Dr. Tugel's Compound Syrup of Globe Flower. So that didn't take off. Unbelievable, I know. It was a different time. He began experimenting with coca and coca wines, eventually creating a recipe which contained extracts of cola, with a K, the cola nut, and the Damiana shrub. He called this one Pemberton's French Wine Cola. He's learning. That's a bit better.
I'm still not buying French Wine Cola.
I'll tell you, French wine...
You well and truly zoned out for a while there, didn't you? I turned around to ask Matt what he thought, and his face was just like... He's gone. All right.
What are we talking about?
So French wine cola, it had French wine coca in it, which is a combination of cocaine, alcohol and French wine.
All right, I'm in.
Yeah. I thought I was going to say, Matt, how do you feel about this?
Real good.
Well, you're going to love it because among many fantastic claims, he called it a most wonderful invigorator of sexual organs.
Hmm? Okay.
You listening?
I'm listening.
Pemberton's, it was marketed as a medicine and was advertised as particularly beneficial for, quote, ladies and all those sedentary employment causes nervous prostration.
Don't.
They just had a little bit of that French wine.
Yeah. They are going through the roof next door.
Don't acknowledge it, though.
Wrestling fans. Huh?
I did last week.
There's no wrestling fans in here, is there? Thank goodness. The worst people.
We're all cola fans, right? 45 minutes to go. It was also suggested that this French cola wine was a cure for morphine addiction, which is absolute bullshit because it didn't even help the inventor to kick his morphine addiction. In 1885, Atlanta, which Pemberton had moved to, brought in legislation to ban the consumption of alcoholic drinks. Pemberton, panicked, scrambled to develop a non-alcoholic version of his popular products. We had to get the cocaine is fine. It's going to get the fucking wine out of there. He experimented with making a new non-alcoholic drink and perfected his recipe through trial and error, using different combinations and getting his friend to test them at his pharmacy. It's called Jacob's Pharmacy. Not owned by a man called Jacob.
Hugely disappointing.
Oh, no. He decided to sell it as a recreational fountain drink rather than a medicine. And a fountain drink is what soft drinks were referred to at the time. They were made using a big machine called a soda fountain that combined thick flavoured syrup, carbonated water and ice. Pretty much like a drink dispenser at like a Subway or a McDonald's now. You with me?
Soda fountain. A fountain. What were they? Wait. What do they call them?
So I need you to imagine some sort of fountain.
No, I understand the fountain.
I am the man that struggled to comprehend what a soda stream
was.
Oh my god.
We went through it a lot. I know. We went through this a lot.
Again, the bubbles hurt my tongue. At the time, soda fountains were a popular thing. They were especially popular in contrast to saloons, which were seen as seedy sort of things where sort of rough and tough men would go, but women at the time were rarely seen in saloons. So these soda fountain places were a great place for families and the like to gather along.
Nah.
And that's what the target demographic for.
I'd be at the saloon. I'd be at the saloon.
You'd be at the saloon?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Picking fights. Playing the piano. I would.
This girl gets it.
I get it. I'd be in the saloon.
You're coming in.
I'd be chewing tobacco.
You said the word.
Spitting tobacco. Is that what they did, yeah?
I missed the setup for that.
Where are you?
It's a bloody good question. Saints by 30.
struggling to get over it. Now, when you create a drink and you decide to name it Dr. Tuchel's Compound Syrup of Clove Flower, you realise pretty quickly that you need a marketing guy on board. You've got no idea what you're doing. So,
or girl.
Or girl.
Oh, yes. Nazi.
Also, they are traditionally misogynists. Women can do marketing too, Dave.
Women can do Nazis too, Jess. Women can
ask,
do not.
Ask Eva Braun.
It's a. I believe it's. I believe it's Eva Braun, but close.
Fuck.
You know.
Look, I was like. Okay, so the part of me that loves facts overrode the bit. That doesn't want to be called a Nazi, does that?
That'll always win with you, won't it?
So enter a marketing man or woman named Frank Robinson.
Women can be Frank.
A man or woman who moved to Atlanta. He got a job with Pemberton. He had an eye for marketing and called the new fountain drink Coca-Cola.
Interesting.
Cola coming from the coca leaves. Sorry, coca coming from the coca leaves. Coca coming from the cola, and cola coming from the coca leaves.
He loves facts. Yeah. He loves them.
It was an interesting take. He was also responsible, this guy or girl, Frank. He was responsible, he or she was responsible, for writing the Coca-Cola. He wrote out the Coca-Cola in that script writing that they still use. It's called Spencerian script, which is popular with bookkeepers at the time, and he had a bookkeeper background. That one was...
Wait, hang on. Like an accountant.
He was...
Please move on.
Yeah. So the logo is still pretty much unchanged, one of the most recognised trademarks in the world, as we all know. The Coca-Cola formula was introduced at Jaques Pharmacy in Atlanta in May 1886.
I'm not doing it.
Did someone say it? Because I've got a note here saying, it was a good year.
I'm so sorry, that was the one that I was I'm not your monkey.
Look,
I will say it when I decide to say it.
It was a good year, especially for American icons in the making, because it's also the year that the Statue of Liberty was unveiled. That one was for the Statue of Liberty fans. The Coca-Cola fountain formula sold 25 gallons or 95 litres in its first year. The drink made Pemberton $50 that year.
I was going to say, that's not a lot.
But it made 50 bucks.
Okay.
It says here, which sounds great. Obviously it doesn't. However,
sorry.
It cost him $76 to make.
Okay. So not a good year.
Oh, no. It was not a good year. The Statue of Liberty was making millions. He wasn't. The next year, Coca-Cola fared a little better and sales increased to 1,000 gallons or nearly 4,000 litres.
That's quite a jump.
It's quite good.
Their marketing team must be very good.
Oh, very good. The men and women behind the marketing... were doing their job. People seemed to be enjoying the drink for its taste, but Pemberton didn't think that was enough and continued to make many health claims for his product, touting it as a, quote, valuable brain tonic that would cure headaches, relieve exhaustion and calm nerves. He marketed it as delicious, refreshing, pure joy, exhilarating and invigorating.
Oh, how refreshing.
Oh, this drink, my headache is gone and I'm feeling very refreshed.
Do you know what, though? Actually, I do get migraines. And one of the things that they suggest is...
Cocaine.
Cocaine. And you know what? Sorts me right out. All better.
Can Coca-Cola really help a headache?
Yeah. Yeah, I find it does, actually. But this is irrelevant. But some people find, like, caffeine will make it worse, and others find it helps, and I find it helps.
Great. So if you've got a headache...
Just if you're wondering...
Take a punt. could end terribly. Soon after Coca-Cola hit the market, Pemberton, this is our man that invented it all, fell ill and became nearly bankrupt. Sick and desperate, he began selling rights to his formula to business partners in Atlanta. Part of his motivation to sell actually came from his expensive continuing morphine addiction. Despite the...
It's not cheap. The syrup. It's not the cheapest addiction. What is the cheapest addiction?
Reading.
Is it reading?
Yeah, reading. But I mean, you still got to pay for.
You got to buy the books. So.
I think the cheapest addiction is water. This podcast brought to you by. Oh, I love a good water. This is just an excuse for me to have a drink.
And it doesn't hurt your tongue.
Oh, it's so bubble free.
Your delicate little tongue.
So he's addicted to morphine. He's selling it off.
I like you standing. You stay standing.
Okay.
Can you walk around the front like it's a presentation? And then we'll just kind of critique you from back here. There's questions.
Question from the audience. Speak into that microphone.
Your lead's pretty long.
Was it carbonated? Yes, it was carbonated. Next question. An excellent question.
Yeah, this is great. This
Anything
is
else?
I feel more comfortable here, do you?
Yeah, this feels
Can
good.
You try to pay attention? Just
yeah,
a bit?
No, I am. I'm locking in.
So Pemberton's selling it off, everybody. The biggest investor and eventual sole owner of Coca-Cola was Atlanta businessman Asa Candler. Candler was a self-made and very... self-made man, very religious, who had refused... He had refused college and decided instead to move to Atlanta for work. He initially, when he moved to town, asked John Pemberton for a job, who turned him down. Don't worry about Asa, because in a few years he worked his way up to own his own pharmacies. He was very, very successful. When Frank Robinson, the man or woman who's behind the marketing of Coca-Cola...
Women can be Frank Robinson.
Yeah. He came into Asa Candler's pharmacy to ask if he wanted to sell Coca-Cola at his pharmacy, because that was sort of his job. He went around to pharmacy saying, hey, do you want to sell this in your fountain? Asa turned it down, mainly because he didn't even have a fountain to sell it. But Robinson persuaded him to try the drink, and Asa loved it. He loved it so much, he decided to buy the entire formula. There you go.
Bought the whole thing.
He bought it all. Meanwhile, the poor old Coke inventor, John Pemberton, died from stomach cancer at age 57 in August 1888, just 2 years after creating Coca-Cola. On the day of his funeral, as a sign of respect, not one drop of Coca-Cola was dispensed in the city. But he would have no... which is a very small consolation prize.
That's fucked.
On the day of Jess's funeral, not one podcast shall be listened to.
I'll know. Oh, I'll know.
You'll haunt them from beyond
I'm
the
I'm going to haunt your phones. Or preferred listening devices.
By 1891, Asa Candler was the sole owner to the rights of Coca-Cola, and all up it only cost him $2,300.
$2,300?
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah.
Not a bad investment.
Do you want to go thirdsies?
I don't think I could scrape together a third of that, to be honest.
Podcasting is going so well, you guys.
You're telling me that the Coca-Cola company has just, for some reason, offered you to buy the whole company for $2,300 and you can't scrounge it up.
No, he can't scrounge a third of it. Like, you're... Okay, ass prod. You're... Like, the one on the big dollars is like, you guys don't have $2,300? Adorable. I have that in my shoe. It's pocket change.
I'm very successful. If someone offered me to buy a several $100 billion company for a third of $2,300, I'd be in.
Interesting. Good to know.
What if we went thirds, us two, and the other third, everyone else here chipped in? Are you guys in for a couple of bucks each?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Don't try and buy their love like that.
That's how you get involved, sir.
Yeah, how do I get involved? $3 a piece. By 1891, Asa Candler was the sole owner, as I said. He founded the Coca-Cola Company, so he didn't make just Coke. He called it the Coca-Cola Company.
Oh, he
made a
corporation. Like, we're going to branch out.
Oh, yeah. He immediately began expanding the business, and just 4 years later, there was Coca-Cola factories in Dallas, Chicago, and Los Angeles. Or on this show, Los Angeles. In 1895, 3 years after the Coca-Cola Company's incorporation, when he went public with it, Mr. Candler announced in his annual report to shareholders that Coca-Cola is now drunk in every state and territory in the United States. So just 3 years
and
later.
And territory. Every state and territory.
I'm talking Puerto Rico, Guam, etc.
Nailed it.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounded so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh, my God.
Candler also marketed the product unlike anyone else had ever marketed anything before, so blowing his competition out of the water. So these other imitators are coming along, and he's like,
hang on, what's he like?
He's like,
thank you for clarifying.
He called a meeting and was just like,
and the secretary's taking minutes, yep. Like, shakes head three, four, five times, okay.
Sometimes these meetings would go for several hours. I actually did read about him. I said he was a very religious man. He actually started his meetings by getting everyone in the meeting to sing in unison, "Onwards, Christian Soldier."
Which is how we start this podcast.
Onwards, Christian Soldier. And he's just up the front going... It is music to my ears.
Literally.
What the music is.
Oh, yeah.
What a weirdo.
He put the Coca-Cola logo on everything, so no one else had ever done this. He put it on souvenir fans, calendars, clocks, urns, and
he put it on the fans.
On the fans.
Oh, souvenir fans. Yes.
Like, give me some air, not get the fuck away from me, I'm Justin Bieber type thing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, we've got to put the Dugo on logo on all of these guys. All right, I'll get started. sit still, everybody.
He also put the logo on advertisements all over the country. He then sent salesmen across the country to distribute hundreds of thousands of coupons good for one free Coke, hoping that people would like it as much as him, and after they had one, they'd want another, and another, and another, and so on and so forth.
Was cocaine still in it?
At this time, yes.
I reckon they might want another.
Yeah, another. Suddenly you're having 50 Cokes a day. As demand for Coca-Cola increased, I wonder why, the company quickly outgrew its facilities. They built a new building as its headquarters in 1898, and Candler stood up the front, sang "Onwards, Christian Soldiers," went, and then said, "This building will do us from here on forever." It was inadequate in just under a decade, so they outgrew it in a decade. We've got another question from the man in the hat.
Oh, yeah,
hat man. Where were they getting the cocaine at the time?
The cocaine factory, sir. Next question. So the cocaine was actually part of the byproduct that they were getting. Look, we've got you a job at Coke. I can't get you a job at the cocaine factory as well. You'll have to sort it out. Give me your resume. I'll pass it on. So it was actually a byproduct of when they're getting this coca and coca leaves. It's actually just coming out from that. That's what the cocaine's coming from.
From coca leaves.
Mm.
I don't think anyone actually wanted to
know.
No,
no one cared.
That was a little joke question there. And
hey, I hear a question and I answer a question. by 1900, Candler was one of the richest men in Atlanta.
Yeah, but in 1900, so like, pfft, and Atlanta.
Shout out to our listeners in Atlanta. Candler, he courted controversy when people caught on that cocaine was in Coca-Cola. Cocaine wasn't actually illegal in the United States until 1914, but by 1903, the tide of public opinion had turned against this because people were addicted to things like morphine and cocaine. So it was frowned upon. So people were thinking, I don't want to drink that.
So cocaine was a no-no. It interesting. Was
But it wasn't a technically bad illegal. Year. It was a bad year.
It was a different time.
All the cocaine was removed from the product in 1903. However, cocaine wouldn't be cocaine-free, and neither would Coca-Cola. Wouldn't become completely cocaine-free until 1929, when scientists perfected the process of removing all the elements from the coca leaf extract. There you go.
Do you know who was starting to also rise up around that time?
Oh, fuck off. Was it the team who was up by 30 today? Was that who it was? Yeah.
Nah, that was a bad year for the Saints, but...
should be noted that officially, the devout candler denied that cocaine was actually found in the drink, and to this day, the Coca-Cola company denied that it was ever in the drink, but it is almost universally agreed that it did.
I zoned out. And then he looked at me for approval. I was like, oh, no.
So it's sort of like a Scientology kind of history, rewritten a yeah. little bit. We were good always. Coke.
That's the new slogan. Just like Scientology, we were good always.
Or the Nazis, for example, Dave.
I'm putting my thumb down.
We were never that bad. Nazi party. You've been very quiet now, Dave.
Oh, no, I'm trying to move on. I'm trying to move on.
I wonder how 360 fly. I think this episode's going.
Worth it.
Candler was obviously a great businessman, but he overlooked one big opportunity, and that was he thought Coke was going great, sold at these fountain things. And people approached him saying, you should bottle this and send it around the country. And he was like, nah, there's no money in bottling Coke. What are you talking about? So there are two men came up to him, Benjamin Thomas, Joseph Whitehead. They asked if they could sign a exclusive rights to sell Coke in bottles. And he said, yes, I'll do it for $1.
What?
That's me banging my head on the microphone.
The two men, Matt?
$1. Because he was like, it'll never catch on.
I reckon I could get that together.
A third of a dollar.
I mean, you'd probably have to ask your mum, but it would be right. Mum, can I borrow a third of a dollar? I'm not sure how much exactly that is, Mum.
Yes, I'll keep the change. Fuck.
The two men started bottling the drink, and it proved extremely popular. So popular that it became the people across the USA wanted the bottles. So the men had to set up more bottling plants, but they didn't have enough money for the capital. So they started sub-licensing their license to other people, and said, like, licensing to different people in different towns. Like, all right, you can be the official licensor in this town. You build your own bottle, and you give us some of the money. So they did that, and over the next 20 years, the number of plants grew from 2 to more than 1,000 across the USA. 95% of them locally owned and operated. So wow. These people have got the exclusive rights and then sold them on, and now they're getting rich as well. The Coca-Cola company asked bottle manufacturers to submit designs for a bottle for Coca-Cola that was so distinctive that it could be recognized by touch in the dark.
Or in landfill. Coke bottle. Body. My hopes and dreams. Yeah, but that got the biggest laugh, you jerks. Jess doesn't have dreams.
I'm just trying to create a story between the three of those things. There's a dead person. One Coke and Jess is really sad.
What are you doing there, Jess?
Nothing.
What have you just done?
Nothing. Less questions.
1950.
I'm guessing you just bottled that guy. And knowing that the cops are coming to arrest you, your hopes and dreams are in the ground as well. You fucking piece of work.
In 1915, they picked a design that was especially good for bottling people to death. Convenient. And from then on...
Show me your notes. He has it there. He gets me.
It was a good year. 1915, they chose that, and then from then on, it was all one bottle for everyone across the USA. And the Coca-Cola was actually the first product to be sold in six packs.
Oh,
thought Matt.
I thought yogurt was first.
Wait, what? You thought I'd be appreciating things being grouped together in six?
Yeah.
Well, you're right. That makes me really happy. That's great. Thank you.
I'd prefer it rounded up to 10, but that's...
You want a 10-pack?
Yeah, I want a 10-pack.
I said that like it's a weird thing, then I realised that lots of things come in 10-packs.
Guam, Puerto Rico.
Etc. Yeah, overseas territories of the United States come in tens. Google.
Siri.
Tell me how many overseas territories the United States have. By the time America entered the First World War, Coca-Cola was the biggest consumer of sugar in the world. And this was a time of rationing around the world. They tried to create a clear product that used less sugar. It didn't work.
Water.
Candler.
Don't you hate it when the audience is funnier than you? It's like, good on you. No,
I'll take your laughter. I'll take it. I'll take it.
I love it. Well done, guys.
I'm
with
that.
You.
Oh, my God. Not again.
He's turning us again. Candler sold the Coca-Cola company in 1919 for $25 million.
Matt. 30s.
Okay. Look, things have been looking up. I've just checked my stocks and, I'm in. Well, I mean, I'm here to have a good time, try to forget about some of those troubles back home. Do you have to bring it here, Jess?
This is our family. These are our people. This is a safe place.
Mate, I'm going to get my accountant onto it.
No, you dare.
Are there any accountants in tonight?
Don't raise your hand.
Are there?
No, you can, I guess.
Love this accountant stuff?
Someone's shaking their head a little too enthusiastically.
Oh, I thought the lady that one had never been to the show, two that I touched, and three, I thought that maybe you were an accountant.
Good night, yeah. Big night for you.
She's also from Guam.
And etc.
I'm from etc.
Where are you from? Etc. Oh.
Oh, what's that accent? Etc. Oh. Prohibition kicked off in the US in 1920 and remained for over 13 years. This led to Coke being everywhere that alcohol used to be. So big time for Coke. Then during this time, 1923, a 34-year-old man named Robert Woodruff became president of the Coca-Cola company and remained there for 5 decades.
So he was 34 when he became president.
Yeah.
So he was pretty much already dead, wasn't he?
Imagine being 34.
Imagine being in your early 30s.
No, mid, to be fair.
Mid. Nearly mid.
Mid-130s.
Yeah.
I'm a young, fit man, and I will fight you all.
If we all had a fight to the death, everyone versus everyone, who do you reckon would win?
All right.
Jess, right? It's Jess.
Oh, wait, of the three of us, I was thinking all of them. No. You meant us?
No, I meant everyone here together, but I assumed that one of the winners would be either me, Matt, or Jess.
Oh, still me, but let's see who my contenders are. No, I can take
Connor,
it.
Connor, red beard. Red
beard.
Nah,
but he's
strong.
Got a friendly face.
He does.
You're quite big, but I don't think you'd hit me. Which is a good thing, Connor.
Yeah,
is a compliment. Yeah, I feel safe with you, is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, the opposite of me. You're big, I'm small. Jess is terrified of being alone with me.
Usually Matt's in the middle. I'm being very brave today. Face your fears. Tiny men with sensitive tongues.
You mean...
I didn't like saying that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that happened. I'm going to be quiet for a bit.
I've got to keep talking with this very sensitive tongue. So that man, Robert Woodruff, steered the ship through World War II. Coca-Cola made a commitment to supply Coke to the US Armed Forces at a cost of 5 cents per bottle, the same price as back home, no matter what the cost to Coke itself. So they'd... which actually cost them a lot, but it made them become beloved by the army. And then when those people returned home from war, they brought that back with them. In order to get Coca-Cola to GI stationed all over the world, Coca-Cola sent mobile bottling plants that could be set up in each of the other countries. And by the end of World War II, there were 64 mobile bottling plants in Iran, Iceland, Egypt, and Papua New Guinea.
And et cetera.
And et cetera. Yes, I can confirm they had one. Yes, they did. This introduced Coke to many locals that had never before had access to Coca-Cola, and the company expanded and became popular across the entire planet. So everything's going great for Coke. What could possibly go wrong, I hear you ask? Another good question from the man in the hat.
Matt, I'm not sure if you picked up on what Dave just said then. So I'm just a quick note with Matt. Sorry, everyone. Won't be a minute.
I can hear you.
If I'm being honest.
You were not listening. Where just, are you today?
Well, I was making eye contact with Sam on sound, and he winked at me, and I... And my, you know, I extrapolated from there. I was off riding like a unicorn in a dreamscape. But anyway, Sam was there, and we're having a... Oh, look, you asked the question. What were you talking about?
It doesn't matter. Dave, do go on.
Thank you very much.
And come on. All right. Stay with us.
So what I was saying was Coke is going really well.
The dementia's kicking in, guys. We're losing him. Every day's just a treat, you know.
Hey, it's a gift, isn't it?
It's a gift. Yeah. Well, that's the word I was going for. Thank you for saving me. I was like, every day's a treat.
That was you giving me shit for being a bit vague. You fucking idiot.
That's why Dave's reports are the best. Dave, do you go on?
Nothing vague about this report, baby.
If anything, too thorough.
Too thorough. I know, no, I think we're right on time. In fact, let's take a little break. No. Everything was going well for Coke until the mid to late 1970s when they began losing ground to diet soft drinks and other non-cola beverages. Also, a main rival had emerged by the name of Pepsi Cola.
Oh, you bloody war-loving maniacs.
What a weird thing to yell. It's the type of thing that at the end of the episode he'd go, hey, can you edit out that bit where I said? And we'd go, no.
Pepsi conducted blind taste tests in stores in what was called the Pepsi Challenge.
They only tested blind people.
Yeah. They had a very niche market, but they were on top of it. They were on top of it. These tests suggested that more consumers preferred the taste of Pepsi to Coke.
Ugh.
The sales of Pepsi started to climb, and Pepsi kicked off the challenge across the nation.
The Pepsi Challenge.
The Pepsi Challenge.
Hashtag Pepsi Challenge.
I'm sure that actually exists.
Definitely, I'm sure it does.
This became known as the beginning of the Cola Wars. Do you like that, you war-loving maniacs?
The Cola Wars.
The Cola Wars.
They were dark times.
Because, well, I'll give you the stats here. Because
I remember them well. I won't go into it. We don't have time.
Most people were worried about the Cold War at the time. Oh, no. We're worried about the Cola Wars. Just after World War II, for some stats, the market share for Coca-Cola's flagship beverage was 60%. So of all soft drinks, 60% were Coke. By 1983, it declined to under 24%.
Ooh.
Largely because of the competition from Pepsi. Coca-Cola kept losing ground, and in 1985 decided to take a drastic step. They decided to change the formula and the taste of Coke. Now, that might seem a little crazy now, to change the taste of Coke 100 years after it's been pretty popular. But the company had secretly done a lot of their own Coke challenges, which found that people liked the new flavour over Coke and over Pepsi. It won every single time. So they're like, man, this is obvious. We'll make the better drink.
What were they like?
Bang, it's obvious.
Bang. And again, the secretary's like, for fuck's sake. Bang? I don't know.
Is that an emoji? It's
bonbon.
That needs an emoji. The company has done a lot of testing, and it was absolutely top secret. The advertising people working on the campaign worked all day at their normal jobs, and then at night they did overtime at a secret other office so people wouldn't pick up that they were working on another job. So that's a Coke worker going undercover as a Coke worker. Which is ridiculous. But also genius.
Hang on, Matt hasn't got it yet. Give him a sec. Nearly. Oh, There it is. There it is. He did a De Niro face. Yeah. Did anybody see that?
Matt's like, you're talking to me? We're like, yes, please listen. We're talking to you. We're talking to you.
It's literally, it is your job.
In April 1985, a press conference was held and it was announced that Coca-Cola would be changing its recipe and calling the new drink New Coke.
Oh, that's good.
It's good.
I hate that so much. Star Wars, a New Coke.
What a tie-in.
Did you ever think, ever, that I would make a Star Wars reference on this podcast?
Oh, I didn't understand what you said. Yeah, yeah. That's good. That's a good one. Like a New Hope.
You piece of shit.
Very good.
No, so we got New Coke, but that's not. It's not just New Coke. It's actually replacing old Coca-Cola. So they talked about just bringing out a new drink, but they thought, the market's already saturated. We're going to go all in on this New Coke and take away the old Coke. At the event, the press conference, the president of Coca-Cola was asked by a journalist, are you sure it won't bomb? And he replied, it's the surest decision ever. Ugh. We didn't make the decision. The consumer did.
Ugh. But do you reckon Arnott said that about the barbecue shapes too? Because that was fucked! That was not okay!
It just never works out well, does it? And in this case as well, it turns out people were pretty attached to the old Coke. Like, really attached. People started properly protesting with signs. Picket fences were formed. They held candlelight vigils.
I was there.
It was a dark time.
Surely, right, this is just good marketing, right? We release a bad thing, make you miss the old thing, and then we bring back the old thing, and then you go, oh, yeah, we love Coke again. Same as barbecue shapes. I can't believe you fell for that. So you're better than that, Jess Perkins. And Dave Warnicki, please do go on. Sorry.
We're going to bring out a shitter version of this podcast, make you miss it, and then we'll somehow...
I think we're
rich.
Doing that now.
Yeah.
I think this is the shitter version.
I'm having a great time. People started protesting, like I said. They were wearing shirts everywhere that said they hate the new Coke. In May, Coca-Cola had to hire more people at their head office to handle the 5,000 angry phone calls they got every single day complaining about new Coke.
Sounds like my job.
By June, they were getting 8,000 phone calls a day. Many of the complaints were from people who didn't even drink Coke. They were just Americans who thought that something so constant in their history shouldn't change.
And that's where a lot of problems lie for Americans. Isn't it? Sorry, Hat Man.
A psychiatrist whom Coke had hired to listen in on calls, you know when they tell you it's being recorded for marketing purposes? It's actually just they can play it to a psychiatrist. He told the executives that some people sounded as if they were discussing the death of a family member. And these people never even drank Coke.
Even or their family or members. Their family.
They never drank their family members. Even Fidel Castro, a long-time Coca-Cola drinker, contributed to the backlash, calling...
He called. He called many times. Sorry, what did he say? Thank you.
Calling, it's not offensive if you don't say words in the accent. Genius plan. He called New Coke a sign of American capitalist decadence. Which I love that he's obviously a big fan of a capitalist product. They introduce a new product and he's like, this is capitalism gone mad. Pepsi, of course, the rivals, took full advantage of consumer backlash in its advertising. Pepsi declared a company-wide holiday that was so confident, everyone got the day off, and they ran a full-page ad in the New York Times proclaiming that Pepsi had won the long-running cola wars.
Fuck off, Pepsi. Everyone has the day off, we got this.
In July, less than 3 months after the initial press conference, the company decided enough was enough, and they held another press conference. They had to yield, and they brought back Coca-Cola Classic. By the end of the year, Coca-Cola Classic was substantially outselling both Coke and New Coke, which they kept as a product, and Pepsi. 6 months after the rollout, Coke sales had increased at more than twice the rate of Pepsi's. They continued to make New Coke. It was called New Coke 2, and it was discontinued in 2002. Now, what Matt was saying before, some conspiracy theorists say that the... marketing conspiracy theorists. The lamest of the conspiracy theorists. Some people are focusing on steel beams. Others are focusing on Coke.
Dave, marketing conspiracy theorists can be women too. I just need you to know that.
He or she does not like the marketing. No, they said that the whole thing was a marketing ploy to rekindle allegiance in the company. The CEO addressed this and said, this is at the press conference when they re-announced they're bringing back Coca-Cola Classic. He said, some people said we made a huge marketing mistake, whilst others say we planned the whole thing. The truth is, we're not that dumb and we're not that smart. Props to Coke Man. That's good.
He just drops the mic and leaves. Yeah. But everyone's like...
Yeah, the secretary.
Where are you?
Yeah. His secretary's like, do I add the mic drop? These days, Coke has kept a firm lead in the US carbonated drinks market. In the US, they currently have a 42.8% market share to Pepsi's 31.1%. So Coke won the day. So we all know that Coke is a very popular drink now. And yeah, we're going to finish with our first ever live edition of Fun Facts.
Yeah! I love fun facts, and I am usually the one to decide if it's fun or not, but I think today we can throw it to the audience.
Okay, fun or...
You get to decide if it's fun.
Before we go on to those, did you mention who put this in the hat in the first place?
Oh, yes. I would like to thank 001, the idea. It came from a listener who suggested the Marvel Comics suggestion that Nick Mason reported on our podcast.
This is second dip.
Second dip. That was, I think that was idea number two. So one and two have been taken. We are now going to just work through in order.
There's like 400. We'll be here forever.
Well, you haven't looked in a while. There's more than
400.
Oh, no. But that was listener Peter. Thank you, Peter.
Peter.
Are you here tonight, Peter?
All right. Fuck you, Peter.
That worked.
Stop the report.
No, yeah, we love you, Peter.
Nah, get on your Peter.
Peter Thomas. He actually
it's
designed
Peter.
My poster, which I'm going to give to you at the door over there.
He is here. Hi,
is
Peter.
Is he here, Peter?
He's here. I can see him. Yeah, it's you, mate.
He is here.
Peter's here. Give Peter a round of applause.
Yeah, Peter. No, but also...
Peter.
No, but he just said, was that me? He doesn't even remember
very passionate about the topic.
Like, we've done nearly an hour of the report.
I know.
And Peter, you should have been sitting there like... Like nudging people next to you, like, Esma, I suggested. That's a good suggestion, isn't it?
Imagine if halfway through we turned...
I suggested it, that is it, Esma.
But if halfway through we turned to the person next to him and went, this topic's really boring. I wish they talked about a serial killer or something good. Peter, how'd I do? Seriously, did you enjoy this?
Yeah, it was great.
Thanks, Peter. All right, Peter, but don't make your opinion just yet, because fun facts could really make or ruin the report.
This is exciting.
Coca-Cola. The first Coca-Cola made in Australia debuted in 1937, which is actually 20 years after an accountant in Perth bought the rights to produce Coca-Cola
not
in Australia.
It's
that's
not
right. Coke is only here because of a Perth accountant, Jess. How do you feel about that?
Oh, mixed emotions.
I do not.
Is that the fact?
I do not feel good about
that. Is that fun or not? An accountant-based fun fact.
No, it's not fun. It's
okay,
not fun.
All right.
Try again, Warnocky.
Coca-Cola has a product portfolio. Of course, there's not just Coca-Cola now. They have more than 3,500 beverages.
And
across
he's
going to
list
brands.
Them.
Well, they have so many that if you drank one every day, a different one every day, it would take you 9 years to try them all.
And you will try that.
Yes, I will. Starting today with Coca-Cola.
Oh, my tongue. I don't like the bubbles.
Coca-Cola's $35.1 billion revenue makes it the world's 84th largest economy, just ahead of Costa Rica, which is just ahead of etc.
I'm not sure if you have a grasp of what fun facts are.
Coke was the first soft drink drunk in space. Cop that, Pepsi!
Oh,
see, that's
pretty
fun.
That's
a fun fact. Yeah. I'm getting some nods.
How about this,
not applause, but a bit of this. They're doing a bit of this.
Well, get your hands ready. Get your hands ready. If all the Coca-Cola ever produced were put in the 8-ounce contour Coke bottle, the classic Coke bottle, and these bottles were distributed to each person in the world, there would be 1,104 bottles per person.
It's a lot of ifs, Dave.
No, but that's very sweet of you. You're good people.
Final one. God, this is not fun. This is not fun. Coca-Cola is available in over 200 countries. And 1.7 billion, with a B, Coca-Cola beverages are drunk every day.
Whoa.
That is equivalent to 19,400 beverages every second.
That's
19,000. That's 19,000.
Yeah.
19,000 more. You get the idea, and so on and so forth. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Coca-Cola. I was going to drop the mic there, but then realised I do not own this microphone, so I love the venue, so thank you very much.
That was the most gentle mic drop ever. Easy.
Look, I'm looking here. We've got bloody 2 minutes. No, it's 1 minute. 1 minute to spare.
Well done.
We got through a Dave report in 1 hour. I'm so excited about that.
Well done, Dave.
Guys, thank you so much. Give yourselves a big round of applause for coming out today.
And to Dave Warnocky for his report, everybody.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Sam Peterson on sound. Give him...
Thank you, Sam.
Good job, Sam.
Now, if you are listening at home, we're going to do two more of these reports this coming Sunday. If
my report next week.
Oh, boy.
Matt will actually have to concentrate on the show.
No, he won't.
No, probably not.
He still zones out.
The topic's already been selected via the Patreon poll. Oh. It was all options were Australian based because a friend of the show, like I can't remember his name, not a good friend, but a guy came up to me at the Planet Broadcasting launch. He's like, "How about an Australian?" Oh, you're here.
Oh, it's Claire.
Oh, Coke's pretty good though.
Anyway, yeah, so that's going to be fun. I haven't started writing it, but bloody hell, I'm confident that I will write a good book.
Okay, that's enough.
But thanks so much for coming out today, guys. Give yourselves a round of applause, and that means we can leave.
And there it is, another live episode recorded in front of a packed house at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. Thank you so much to everyone that came down and supported the show live. It really was a lot of fun again. And I also have to say thank you to everyone who supports us on Patreon at patreon.com/dogoonpod. It really means a lot to us. And I would specifically like to thank three Patreon legends right here, right now. And I heard Jess last week, avoid using any puns. Not for me. I am going to give it a crack, even on my own, without anyone to react or to take me down. In fact, this could go for several years, this segment. I would first like to thank a listener who has supported the show for a while now. Thank you to Tanya Miles. Thank you, Tanya. I would walk 500 miles to say thank you, Tanya. You are an absolute legend. And the next person I'd like to thank, all the way from Dallas, Texas. And don't freak out that we've been stalking you, mate, because you gave us your address when you first signed up so we could send you things in the mail, like the bonus Christmas card that we sent at Christmas time, and hopefully in future more stuff will come your way. All the way from Dallas, Texas, it's Michael McDowell. And I'd like to say thank you because you're worth it. The same slogan that Andy McDowell, who was the face of L'Oreal, has used for over 30 years, and I can only presume is your mother or auntie or something else. So thank you, Michael McDowell. What a legend. And a final big thank you to Andrew Perry. Andrew Perry, we appreciate your support. I would like to say thank you, but I'm going to do as your surname Perry is defined as in the Macmillan Dictionary and avoid answering a question by asking a different question or saying something clever. Okay, I've got nothing clever, so I will just say thank you to Andrew Perry. So thanks, Andrew, Michael, and Tanya. If you would like to support us on Patreon, it is patreon.com/dogoonpod, and we will send you out a bonus episode once a month. We've fallen a bit behind this month because of the Melbourne Comedy Festival, because we're doing a million shows, both live pods and other stuff, but that will be coming out very, very soon. And you get other rewards. Please do check out that page. If you want to get in contact with us, we are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, all at dogoonpod. If you are more of an email type of person, please send us an email at dogoonpod@gmail.com. But until next time, that is the end of another episode, and I will say a goodbye. And Matt would usually say, laters.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.